Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning. Monday, October the 13th, 2025. 10:13:25, 11 and a half minutes past the hour here. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio. Did want to remind everybody that there is a kids' night out coming up on October 27th, Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Marion Kroger, located on Route 95 here in Marion. Join them for fun games and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. It's Kids Night Out, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Kroger, located on Route 95 here in Marion. Ghosts and goblins galore. Don't miss that. Now, I do want to congratulate the Harding football team. Defeated Pleasant on Friday night. And it's a good year for Harding football. They defeated both of the rival teams that they play, the Marion rivals that they have. They defeated Pleasant on Friday night, and they defeated River Valley earlier in the season. So it's got to be a good year for Marion Harding. But I don't know. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here. But Pleasant clearly has had a very rough year. And you know what? We still haven't heard the end of that story at Pleasant. They got a new head football coach at the beginning of the season. He was there for, I think, 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks, something like that. Had some accusations made against him. He was removed as the head football coach. The principal became the head football coach. And I don't know if that investigation is done yet or not. They said we would know when it was done. That was many, many weeks ago now, maybe even a month ago now. And I don't think we know what's going on there. I don't think the original football coach is back. So Pleasant has certainly had a very difficult season, football-wise. And River Valley, for whatever reason, you know, I was informed when I was covering that game a few weeks ago, along with Matt, that River Valley's quarterback has not been a quarterback since he was in junior high school. So they're throwing interceptions left and right, and that certainly was evidenced by how they played Harding and how they played how they have played against other schools. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know if the teams are just not great this year. I don't want to take away from Harding for beating both teams. But there definitely has been, it's been a controversial, unfortunate year for Pleasant football, and certainly River Valley. I just don't know what's going on there. I rebuilding year, who knows? In any event, congratulations to Harding, and they should be happy no matter what the situation is. 740-383-9944. Now, got to take a minute and say thank you to the Marion Star. Yesterday, I was informed, or actually it was Saturday night, I was informed that the Marion Star on Sunday was going to do a story on the Mary Ellen birthday party that happened on October the 2nd, and they did do a very nice story in yesterday's paper about that. The headline was Trailblazer Mary Ellen Withrow Celebrated by Ohio Leaders. There was a picture of Mary Ellen with Governor Strickland and Governor Taft and myself. That was very nice, but it mentioned everybody who was there. It mentioned all the people who sent in videos. Some quotes from the event were in the article. So I do thank the Marion Star for running that article. Now, I know what you're saying at home. You're saying, well, you know, you've criticized the Marion Star for how they've reported some things. Well, it is true, and some things they do report are a little off, and that's unfortunate, but this story seems to be pretty well on. Now, I think I know why that is. Now, this is strange, because It says the story, the byline, it says it was written by Jane Embody. But then it says it's an AI-assisted reporter. And at the very end of the article, it says this story was created by Jane Embody with the assistance of artificial intelligence, AI. Journalists were involved in every step of the information gathering, review, editing, and publishing process. Learn more at cm.usatoday.com/ethical-conduct/period. So, the article on Mary Ellen's birthday party apparently was created with the help of AI and Jane Embody. Now, I don't know who Jane Embody is. I've never met this person or talked to them. I don't know who they are. Usually it's Abby who's writing the articles for the Marian Star. But I thank them for doing this. And I don't know what this is all about. Maybe AI should write the articles in the Marian Star, because AI apparently does a very good job. I couldn't find any mistakes in the article about Mary Ellen and her birthday party, so maybe that's the way to go now, the old AI track. And not that Abby doesn't do a good job. I just think sometimes things are said that aren't exactly conveyed the proper way. That's the best way to put it. But listen, journalism's hard. Journalism is not precise, and if you think you're going to get it right all the time, you're not. I just think it's hard to come into a town that you don't know and haven't lived in and try to know everything that's been going on there to give yourself some context. So again, I probably will continue to criticize things when it's not exactly correct, but I have to say on this one, they did a good job. So, you know, it's like a child. When a child does good, you say, congratulations, I'll give you some candy or take you to McDonald's or whatever. And when you do bad, you say, well, maybe you need to stand in the corner for a minute. So that's what it's kind of like. But thanks to the Marian Star for running that article. And I hope people got to see it yesterday. But I don't know what the circulation is of the Marian Star anymore or how often people read the articles. In any event, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 49 degrees and partly sunny skies. You know, I was thinking as I was driving over here this morning, it's a very pleasant morning. Weather-wise, it's a very, very pleasant morning. This is the type of morning that you would want. It's just very, very nice. Okay. So we did the newspaper article, and we did the kids' night out. Well, there is a city council meeting tonight. Now, a lot of the stuff that was brought up last week in committee that caused such a kerfluffle will be on full display tonight in the full city council meeting. I believe the economic development director position goes up in front of full city council tonight. This whole idea of creating a local office for permits in regard to construction, I believe that goes up in front of full council tonight. Some of these finance issues, I believe, will go up in front of full council tonight. And we'll see where that all goes. I think there's probably a lot of discussion to be had there. There is a full council meeting tonight, and we'll see how it shakes out. We certainly talked a lot last week about people's conduct and how they handle things and why they handle it that way. I don't know. It may be on full display tonight. It may not be on full display. Hopefully everything is able to be handled in a positive way, maybe. I don't know. Just a little less on the name-calling and yelling at people, and maybe a little more on the substantive side. Maybe getting something done or learning something or so on and so forth. I don't know. I think a lot of things will be brought up tonight because that was an awful interesting meeting last week. Now, I'll tell you something else interesting that happened here this morning. Well, you know, I have a box of Twinkies in the studio. Now, it's not a full, unopened box of Twinkies, but somebody gave me a box of Twinkies over the weekend. And I'm not a huge Twinkie eater, although I do prefer them to a lot of other things, because I'm not a big chocolate person, and I'm not a big candy bar person. So a Twinkie, you know, golden, vanilla cream, it's not too bad. So I do have some Twinkies here in the studio. I guess if I was doing giveaways and prizes, I could give you a Twinkie. But honestly, is a Twinkie a really good gift, one Twinkie? If I said that a Twinkie was your prize today, would you really be rushing up here to the studio to get yourself a Twinkie? I doubt it. I doubt that would be all that exciting to you. But who knows? Twinkies are up in price, so maybe a Twinkie is something that would be of interest to you. All right. Does anybody have anything to say? Harding football over the weekend, or I guess more Friday night. The article in the Marion Star. City Council tonight. Twinkies in the studio, or anything that you would like to bring up. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If it's on your mind, feel free to buzz in, and we can certainly discuss it, or we could discuss everything else as well. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, your city.
And it's another full city council meeting. Haven't had one in a few weeks.
But most importantly, it's Columbus Day.
It is Columbus Day. It is.
That's right. And I'm surprised that the city hasn't shut down for a national holiday. Would they have shut down if it was National Indigenous Peoples Day?
Well, I do know that there was a press release sent out. Now, I don't know if the offices are open today or not. They might not be.
Well, does anybody know if they've gotten the new city website up and functioning yet?
I don't know. You know, I have not been back to the website, which again was always my contention. How many people are visiting this website?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. It's like a computer game. You're trying to find something. You can't get up to date information, actionable information from the Marion paper, because, you know, what's her name? Emily? Bammer?
Abby.
Abby, she's hamstrung. She's only one person. She can't run through all of the things that's necessary. And, you know, you look at the Marion paper, it's a pretty darn much a carbon copy of the Columbus Dispatch. Gannett is just bastardized journalism and taken the identities away from the small newspapers that, you know, you used to be able to get it, find out what's going on in the neighborhood. And it's difficult these days. So I think more people are dependent upon the city of Marion's website to find out what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. 2 points here is when I was told on Saturday night that they were running an article on the Mary Ellen birthday party, I thought, well, that's interesting because I know Abby was not there. Now, she did tell me she was not going to be there because she was on vacation that week. So I thought, well, there's not going to be any coverage of this. Well, when I saw the coverage, it was correct. I mean, it was a nice local article yesterday, nice local picture. But when I looked to see who had written the article, it says this Jane Embody's name, and I've never heard that name before, but it says assisted by AI. And then we want to knock AI, but yet everything in the article's right. So, I don't know.
Well, something struck me funny when I read the article, too, because I didn't recognize the name, the byline. You know, we'll probably really never know, and the newspaper probably will never acknowledge whether it was an AI-written article, or, you know, if there's actually, you know, M-Body actually exists. Maybe she's a Betty Crocker or an Aunt Jemima.
Well, it does say, at least they admitted that it was AI, but I don't know who Jane M-Body is, but it does say she assisted in the compilation of the article. Now, I got some... Phil, who's out there listening this morning, wanted to know if there was a council meeting tonight because of Columbus Day. I think Adam just ran it on the news that, yes, there is. I'm pretty sure there is a council meeting tonight.
And Adam mentioned the agenda?
I think he did go through the agenda, yes.
Where on earth is the... Where can you find the agenda?
Well, I think that is on the website. I think...
Well, if you can find it, I mean, if the website is functioning, I may give a call up there and talk with the clerk of council and find out where that might be.
Well, I'm looking here I don't know. I can't find a whole lot on this website, but I'm not good. No, okay, hold on here. I found something. Marion City Council will meet on October 13th. Well, that's today, so there we go. Yes, there will be a meeting tonight. Doors will open at 6.
Does it give the agenda?
I don't see it could. I don't see it, though.
So
wait a second. It says the agenda may also be found on the new website under Agendas City Council. If you have any questions, I don't know.
See if you can find that, because I kept hitting links one time. That page cannot be found, is what I got. And then I tried calling.
Oh, wait, now Naomi's saying it's not on the website, so there you go.
Well, I also called the name of the company that's at the bottom that so proudly exclaims that, hey, we're the people who put the website together, called them up. I left a voicemail message. Well, no, I didn't. I had to send an email to them. It's been over a week. I haven't heard back from them at all. And, you know, that's why it was rather irksome last week when the mayor starts shooting his mouth off. Well, when we get our, you know, about can-do and economic development on our webpage, that's when I had to say, yeah, when you get a webpage that works, a website that works, and then that's when he went off on his little tirade.
Well, so, I do know from listening to Adam's report that the economic development position will go in front of full council tonight. I do know that the local office for permits for construction will go up in front of full council tonight for the first time, and some of these finance issues will go in front of full council for the first time. So everything that kind of got started last week will come to full fruition tonight. I know that.
Well, these will be first readings, so you're saying
maybe.
You're pretty sure that when you say it will come to fruition, kind of like preempting it. Oh, you know, it's not going to go to three readings because, look, here we are, October. Oh, gee, it's going to be late November.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They tend to suspend the rules rather quickly and go right to the emergency clause. So even though I don't see that, it certainly could happen. So if you want to speak on any of these things, you might want to get up there tonight, because if nobody says anything, then they have a tendency to go right to the emergency clause and there aren't three readings.
Everything. I don't know if I can go up there and make a difference, you know? It is beyond reasonability that, hey, we're going to hire somebody. Here's what we're going to pay you. Have you ever applied for a professional job?
Yes, I have.
And have you not been asked, what are your salary expectations?
Yeah, well, here's where I think the problem is. I think if you're applying at a private business or you're applying at, let's say, a private institution like a college or something like, or even a public institution, usually the budget is a separate thing. They have some money set aside for these positions. I think the problem...
We're talking about salary.
Right, but I think the problem with this position is the mayor has to get it approved by council. So he's got to tell them how much money he wants. Now, does he have to pay that person that much? Well, he probably does, because if the money is allocated for that specific purpose, because he's creating a new position, then he's got to pay them that. He can't just say,
Would it not make more sense to pass legislation creating a government entity shared by the city and the county for economic development? Pass that first, then proceed. They're kind of getting the cart before the horse.
Well, now, I think that's a fair point to make tonight. No, I think if a citizen or you or somebody else brought that point up, I mean, I would be interested to see what full council felt about that.
Because they need, again, I keep going back, they got to start thinking business-wise instead of bureaucrat-wise, where they've never had to generate revenue. They always got money from tax dollars. That's why they need a business plan.
Well, okay.
Here's what we see as the need for an office support, salaries to support that office, but you should never tip your hand off to what the position's going to pay, because that way you can get, say, five candidates to ask them, what are your salary expectations? And then you can kind of get an idea. By stating that you have fixed number of dollars, salary, $120,000, benefits, you could have dissuaded somebody that could have been an excellent individual. And that's where being a private enterprise, you can negotiate what the salary benefits and things are,
well,
instead of just throwing up your hands and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. Can you do it?
No, but
you know, the process for private enterprise theoretically weeds out the bullshitters.
Yeah, but here's what I think they would say to that. Now, I don't know, maybe this is what they would not say. But I think what they would say is, if we did it that way, and we went out and tried to hire people, because we want to have this person hired by the first of the year, if we went out and hired them, and let's say we got a less salary, they want $80,000, we'll pay them $80,000, okay. Then we go back to council to get the money allocated. If council doesn't allocate the money, even though they created the position, then we can't hire the person. And I think that would be their reasoning for not doing it that way, not attaching it all at one time. Now, I'm not part of the administration, but I'm guessing that would be the reasoning. And also, I think part of the problem would be that there is, and there has been now for 2 years, a great... what do I want to say? There's been this great thought that the more money we pay somebody, the better people we're going to get. That case was made when they wanted to raise the mayor's salary, when they wanted to raise the law director's salary, when they wanted to raise council's salary, when they wanted to raise the auditor's salary. The idea that there is this overwhelming idea down at City Hall that if we offer more money, we'll get better people. And Mayor Schertzer said, I think that's an awful mindset to have, that these are public servants. You're creating career politicians by saying, hey, the only reason I want to run for this is the money. If it wasn't paying the right amount of money, I'm not going to do it. Well, that's a problem. And also, I think it should be noted that that's a little bit what's behind this charter city, and I hope people understand that if you take these positions away, the treasurer and the auditor, away from the elected official, and God only knows what you do with the position of mayor, you know, the fooling around with these salaries can happen as well. And if there's an overwhelming idea that more money gets you better politicians, well, Is that the way we're headed?
No, I think in that respect, Scherzer was right. There need to be caps. And, you know, if you have the major thing people need to understand about a charter, it's kind of a 1-2 punch combination of Declaration of Independence and a constitution that Marion can govern itself without Columbus, the Ohio legislature, passing laws that may or may not fit our community. Now, it could be the possibility the charter should be along the lines of a business plan, which you have various milestones, just like a business plan. You look and see what the business plan had laid out compared to what has happened the last quarter, quarter after that, or half year, whatever, and make adjustments. Now, you could have salaries for certain positions, which would be subject to review every 5 years, every 3 years, every 5 years. So, you know, I think the argument that throwing money to get the best, no. I think that you either have, if you put the money out there, like I said, the bigger the piece of cheese, the larger rats you're going to attract.
Well,
People will go after a job because, one, they're interested in it. Two, they should have an altruistic point of view, what they can bring to the community and do for the community. That's not to say salary's important. Salaries and benefits are important. But to weed out the wannabes that are hit and miss employees that'll maybe work for a couple years and capitalize on the sums of money that we're talking about here is wrong. We need to find out through interviews. And, you know, it may behoove the city to hire a professional headhunter.
Yeah, but here's the thing, okay? Here's what the question nobody has asked, and maybe tonight it'll be asked in full council, because they're talking about adding this whole department about construction permits, and they're talking about creating this whole position for economic development and all of this. Now, does anybody ever go up there? Because, you know, God knows we spend hours beating up on the treasurer and auditor and saying how incompetent they are and we don't know where the city's finances are. Now, has anybody ever looked the full council in the face and said, you know, before you create a $160,000 position, or before you create a whole new government office, or before you continue to allocate money, can you tell, budget director, I guess that's Troiano now, budget director, how much money do we have in this city? Because we've never had these positions before, including yours, until the last 2 years. How do we have the money to create these positions? What new economic stream do we have that allows us to create these? Because you obviously say the auditor and the treasurer don't know how much money we have. So who does? How much money does the city have?
Exactly. What is their methodology that they arrived at the conclusion we can afford this when the auditor and the treasurer, we don't know where we stand? And most particularly, apparently the state of Ohio doesn't know where we stand.
Well, that's, I'm surprised nobody has ever asked that question. As these positions that have never been here before, or certainly within the last 20 years, are being created, budget director, head of economic development, as these positions are being created, nobody has ever asked full council, how do you know the money's there? Do any of you have a good, a copy of the budget that shows that there's an extra $120,000-$160,000 in the budget next year? Because you keep saying you can't trust the auditor or the treasurer's numbers. So if you can't trust them, where are you getting this budget that's so accurate? You must trust something, they're saying.
Yeah. Or who is telling you, who's giving you this information? You know, where did this information come from? How is it you know more about what the budget and what the city can afford than what the auditor or the treasurer can satisfy your questions?
Because I think I heard the mayor say last week that no grants or anything can be used toward this economic development. So if that's true, you can't say that department.
Yeah, I would question that because does he really know how to root out and find government grants? And what's his source for that?
That's another position they created. And I'm not saying that wasn't a good position, but come to think of it, there's another position they created in the last 3 years was the grant writer.
Mm-hmm. Who's the grant writer?
I can't think of her name. She's been there. She sits in the box mm-hmm. every so often. But these people, I mean, three positions have been created in under 2 years, and how do they know that the money, where was this money just laying around in the past? I mean, we're talking probably close to $300,000 in new positions. Where did that come from?
You know, I think it would behoove them that, and this could be accomplished with a charter, but whoever the administration is should, number one, obviously have business sense, and at least quarterly, or if not semi-annually, say, hey, here's where we started at, here's where we are, here's where we're progressing, here's how much residual funds we have, here's the funds left to carry out through the rest of the year, here's where our money is, so this is where we stand.
Well,
we need to get our bond rating back.
Well, somebody should ask those questions tonight. I mean, I think that's important as a new position for $160,000 is about to be created, and it could very well be suspended. Do we know we have this money? And number two, and I'm not saying that anybody needs to go after the mayor, but I would like some clarification on this men's breakfast thing, since it was brought up last week, in which the mayor said there were no city funds spent on that, except that Mr. Bodine made the PowerPoint presentation. Well, why was the picture of the breakfast that was on the front page of the Marion Star from the Harding Center? I mean, the Harding Presidential Museum. Now, I understand Primrose started putting these on, but who rented the Harding Museum? I can't imagine they gave it to him for free. Now, maybe they did, but that's odd to me. And who paid for the food? Because I don't think there's a kitchen down there at the Harding Center.
Mm-hmm. That was, in all likelihood, if it was, You're absolutely sure it was at the Harding.
What the picture is. I mean, that's what everybody was going off of.
And if they don't have a kitchen there, it was obviously then catered. I don't know. They seem to be spending a lot of money, or think there's money that might not possibly be there, because they don't have their pulse on where we stand financially.
And again, I'm not accusing Primrose. Maybe Primrose rent, or not Primrose. Who'd they say? Kingston. Maybe Kingston rented it. Maybe Kingston paid for the food.
Well, maybe give Bob Goyer a call and find out if he knows.
Well, it's interesting because that was his answer, and I didn't think anything of it at the time. But then I saw the picture, and it clearly identifies that it's being held at the Harding Museum. And I thought,
what's the purpose of these breakfast?
Well, now Kingston
Who's invited?
Kingston started them, and so I mean you can't put that on the mayor. Kingston did start them, and I think they were having them at Kingston at that time. Now, how it ended up at the Harding Museum, I don't know, and how they get food down there, I don't know. Now, Kingston obviously serves breakfast and lunch every day, so that's not a problem, but I don't know how it ended up at the Harding.
That brings me to one of my pet peeves with city council and even the committee meetings. If I recall, on the doors going in, I mean, first and foremost, That is a courtroom where city council is held. On the doors, there should still be, or there used to be, signs, no food or drink allowed in here. And I see council people with a can of pop or a big gulp or whatever in there, totally, I would say, disrespecting the courtroom and the courtroom slash council chambers.
Well,
I find that kind of, I can't believe you people are that oblivious to a sign and, you know, can't keep decorum while in council chambers or, for that matter, the courtroom.
Well, all I know is last week was a committee meeting. Council, I think, is a different thing, and I think there might be some people up there who have some of these questions as well. So I think it's not, you know, it's not, and my understanding is I think there might be an attempt to pass this economic development position under emergency purposes, because it seems like the mayor wants it done so they can start.
You look at the history of how council has acted, it's almost a foregone conclusion, but it would be very shocking if someone got through to council to say, hey, whoa, hold it. Hold the turnip truck up.
Well, tonight's your shot.
Let's rethink this over, you know?
tonight's your shot in front of full council.
I don't know. I'm afraid that that lectern needs to be in the middle of the aisle. I'm afraid the mayor might strike me, you know?
I think Chief McDonald's there to stop that from happening.
Yeah, but he's way over by the exit door, though.
We'll see what happens. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, maybe they'll have to move the lectern. I don't know. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts? Well, that's what's going on tonight. I certainly think it's an interesting night. I think there are some interesting questions, certainly, on the table as we head into this. I don't know. And again, I don't know for sure any of this. I just think it was interesting that the picture in the paper did show the Harding Museum as opposed to Kingston, where the breakfast, I believe, used to be held at one point. Maybe they are still held there. I don't know. Maybe the picture was wrong that was in the paper. I have no idea. Go ahead, caller.
Freaking Bluetooth, man. I mean, good morning, Spears.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm terrific. It's a delightful morning weather-wise.
I don't know about delightful, but okay.
I thought it was delightful.
I found the agendas on the city website, so I just wanted a disclaimer. Now, they were not there the other day, probably when Terry and the mayor had their fist fight in the octagon that is known as city council. They decided to update those. But Terry, if you're listening and you talk to Pollock or you send him an email, he has an email list, and he sends out the agenda every Thursday or Friday to the public so you can take a look at it before you go into council on Monday night. And it has all of the legislation attached to it, so you can try to skim over that before they change it 17 times and then suspend the rules and pass it. And Collins did say, as far as the the economic development person, that he said it in the newspaper that he wants them to suspend the rules and pass it tonight. So the public, if you're listening, we all get to know for exactly 1 week about $120,000 plus with benefits position that our government is going to be creating. And as you said, we have no clue if we have the money for it or not.
Well, no, was that AI? Or was that a direct quote?
No, that was, it seemed to be a direct quote from the mayor. Abby was at that breakfast.
Oh, okay, Abby. So this is from the breakfast.
The Kingston breakfast, yes.
Okay.
That's where he said that. Well, the sort of Kingston, formerly known as Kingston, I don't know.
Well, I'm curious, because there seemed to be, and again, I'm not sure that there should have been that kind of outrage over the men's breakfast, but I think it's very interesting that seemed to be like a prepared shot at the mayor. And
but the Kingston breakfast is one thing, but now that you've pointed it out that it's likely in a rented space. I mean, that's owned by the state of Ohio. That's not owned by us. So we're not going there. You know, it's not like our space to say, hey, we can just use it for free if we want.
Right, and that's what is surprising to me. So I'm not sure if the picture was wrong. Now, there are several things that could be wrong here. The picture could be wrong in the paper. That could be an explanation. It could be that maybe Kingston is paying for this. I don't know. Maybe they are.
If I were the residents of Kingston, I'd be a little upset about that. But please continue.
Well, or the mayor was not honest last week when he was asked that. But
how
I mean,
dare you?
Well, no, but these are the options. Now, I'm not saying he was dishonest because, again, could be a picture problem. Could be that that Kingston catered it. I don't know.
I think that Abby got called out once on using AI or an old photo and not saying that it was an old photo. And I will say that since then I have noticed that her photography has been her own. I've watched her get up.
Oh, now see, now you say that. Now you say that, then I got to sound, actually, because I've already praised them this morning. Now I got to come out and say something bad because the picture that depicted last week's council meeting was not from last week.
It wasn't?
No.
Now, see, I didn't look at the pictures, to be honest. But, well, I didn't even read it because I was there. What's the point in reading it?
Yeah. Well,
it's traumatic. You don't need to relive it. I was there.
Well, no, I see it because it's on the front page of the paper and it's on the newspaper rack. And when I looked at that picture, I said, you know, that's not from Monday. It was a picture of the finance committee, but it was not from Monday.
Oh, okay. I guess I just noticed that it was the correct people. I didn't do the fine detail. I believe you. I just didn't do that fine of a detail.
And I don't think that that's a big, huge deal, honestly, because it was the right people. And, you know, that it's not like that's never been done before. But if that's indeed what happened with the Kingston breakfast.
Well, where would she have been? Where? What other public breakfast would he have been at to have photographs like that?
Well, that's what I say. I don't know. I don't know. And that's what I guess the point that I'm getting at here is more the person who got up to bring this up as a subject and to be so concerned that public money might have been spent on a breakfast that was not open to the public. It's odd to me that the most glaring portion of that, that could have been government money spent on something, was never brought up. But the mayor has now given an answer saying that it wasn't public money. So maybe it'd just be nice to know where the food, because I don't think they have a kitchen down there. I think you have to be, it's catered.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a breakfast without food, is it? Wouldn't it just be a gathering?
No, no. And I don't think they would donate the room. Now, maybe they would.
No, because like I said, that's the state of Ohio, though. They have no reason to donate anything to us. That's
right.
That's how they make money. You know what I mean? They have no reason to donate anything to anyone.
Right, but and also if another organization paid for that, then it is kind of a private meeting because it's on the other organization.
Yes, then it shouldn't maybe not necessarily be presented as the mayor's breakfast. Maybe there were the men's breakfast where the mayor was the guest speaker. I can just see it because here's what happened in my neighborhood, and I know we've already talked about it. But in my neighborhood, we don't get fancy breakfasts. They gather in churches and only tell a select few people about what's going on. And then they get the whole neighborhood up in arms because those select few people that got invited go play operator and tell this, that, and the other. And by the time the story makes it to everyone else, it's just twisted and turned. So that's my big problem with these little private breakfasts and things they have. I mean, we all found out in the newspaper that the mayor is fully expecting to have council suspend the rules and pass a $120,000 job 2 weeks or a week before he did it. I mean, how cool is that? Like, we couldn't, that's not the way you should govern people. That's like edict or decree or rumor or.
Well, but does
whatever.
He have the. And I know people say, well, yes, he does have the votes. Well.
We'll watch it happen tonight, I guess is the only thing I can say.
Right. Well,
Chad Smith is all about it. He didn't care that we're paying this person more than we're paying the assistant law director. He didn't care. He said, well, that's the assistant law director's choice for working here. I just sent to you our state lawmakers, our state representatives make $74,000 a year. we're going to pay this person $50,000 more than that.
Well, and I think maybe that's something that, that council should be asked, not so much to this, it obviously has to do with the
when
economic.
When I asked about party bus money last year, that's when Collins stood up and yelled in my face, October 28th, that's why I have a budget director. I know how much money we have. Blah, blah, blah.
It's time the budget director stands up and lets us know how much money we have.
Well, the only way we can get any questions answered out from people in the box is you have to have city council members asking for you. Remember now that if I ask Mark Russell a question, he'll only answer it if someone else on city council wants to know.
Well, I'm
so
sure...
he won't even answer my question.
Well, it seems that Schauber has no problem with that. So, I think obviously...
How many months do we have left of him, though?
Well, but now...
I did hear this. On Tuesday, there was that meeting, I believe it was Tuesday, with the state of Ohio, and I heard there's a whole bunch of findings coming down from the state of Ohio, and if they don't come down, like, publicly in the next week, I'm going to request them, but a person who's already cost us six figures in findings, I was told their name's in that list. So, we'll see.
Now say the name.
We all know who caused it.
It's alleged. Because
I'm not 100% on this. This is strictly an allegation that was passed on to me.
Right, but
we have been, 2021 audit is in.
Right.
We all remember who the auditor was for the majority.
Right. I just wanted to make clear
Robert Landon. You're
not talking about Miranda.
That would be the end of 2021. I don't think she would have had time to accumulate huge findings. We haven't made it to 2022 yet.
So
it is my understanding that there are some gigantic findings coming down against Robert Landon. That's my understanding. I didn't hear it firsthand. But if the state of Ohio, I was also told that the state of Ohio basically gives the elected officials a few days to get up on this and get ahead of it, and then they release it to the public. So we should know about this soon. Now, that is factual. Like, I looked it up and read everything about their process for that. So we should know soon. If not, I can request the audit from the state of Ohio.
Now, does this affect his charter city run?
It should. You would think that if he costs us another six figures in findings that people might be like, oh, maybe it is the auditor of the state of Ohio that knows what they're talking about and not him.
Well, does this also make it look bad that you know, the finance director apparently and he had a public conversation somewhere?
Oh, they had a Facebook Live.
Oh, they had a Facebook Live. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what do we do about her, though? She's running unopposed, and we're stuck with her for another 2 years.
Well, I just would think that'd be a bad look. If you think you know that
it's
you
all
have...
a horrible look. When we come out with another, okay, so the amount of money that we're going to give this economic director, we're probably going to owe more. Well, there's no probably. We're going to owe more money than that person's position makes.
I don't know. I would just think at some point that would
people
be...
People would be open eyes.
Well, I mean, just, hey, you know, this will be the third position you've created in the course of 2 years. How do you know you have the money if you don't trust the numbers?
Wouldn't it technically be the fourth, because didn't we split safety and service?
Could have been.
I think we
I think they did.
So Bodine's position was technically created. The grant writer has been created. The budget director has been created. Now we're going to do economic developer. Building department, which you heard as many times as I did that guy say, we'll train one of your local people if you want us to. So that very well could turn into another position.
Here's my question.
These are all 80,000. Well, the grant writer, she only makes $65,000 a year. Everybody else is making 80 up.
But here's my question. Okay. Now, I am sure that Mayor Schertzer would not have thought these positions were a bad idea.
No.
It was always under my assumption that the city just didn't have the money to create these positions.
You mean we don't have the money to pay somebody twice the amount that the mayor makes?
Well, I guess I don't understand.
Think about that.
I mean, isn't that $300,000 in positions at least?
That's more. I mean, okay, so we've got, let's just go conservative and say between the budget director and the service director split, we're going to just go 160. That's not benefits. That's just salary. We'll go, okay, the grant writer is 65, so that's $245,000. Now we add in the $120,000 for, I've lost, what are we at, like four something?
Yeah.
So four, and that's no benefits. And each one of these people we know can get up to $24,000 a year in health insurance. So there's $125,000, possibly, not guaranteed, but $125,000 in health insurance. So now we're well over $500,000. But that's no matching taxes, that's no public retirement matches or anything. So that's none of the taxes or the matches, which are right around, I'd say, low conservative estimate, 20%.
Well,
you know, but yeah, I mean, we're talking $700,000.
Well,
but what's the matter?
We'll go to break and keep talking. Thanks.
Bye, Scott.
Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
And I went, well, what about me? What about my needs?